Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of the Man's World podcast, the next installment. I hope everybody's doing great. We have this is special. He's not actually anybody significant, but it is special because he's our first guest, so we thank him for that. Thank you very much. Ryan is his name. You guys want to say something? And obviously, I'm Rick. Ryan, you want to introduce yourself, say something?
Yeah, shalom. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom. He's a Jew. He is a Jew.
What's up?
Hold your hate. Hold your hate back.
Oh, God.
We got Ryan with us. AJ's with us as well, luckily, today. We were able to get some time from him. I know I've been recording some without him, so that kind of sucks. But AJ's here as well today. AJ, if you want to say something.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, cool. Thank you very much for that. Actually, and it's cool. I think we should have a pretty good discussion today. I know somebody said something to me on Reddit. I think they said try and engage your guests and AJ more. So hopefully we can get a pretty good discussion going today.
Yeah, if you can keep your mouth shut, dude. I don't know if you can.
Dude, I can't. I talk so for anybody who's wondering, just to set a little backstage, I guess. Ryan reached out to us. He emailed us mansworld59@gmail.com. He emailed. He had an issue with one of the guys in his friend group, and we talked on Discord. I called him up and we talked for a couple hours. And that was one of the first things he said to me at the end of it was, "Stop rambling."
You talk when you fuck. Do you? I swear
yeah,
to God.
I do. Of course.
What do you say? Are you making conversation or is it little bits?
No, I'm talking about how terrible women are. I go on rants on women when I fuck now.
God, your pussy's so fucking hollow. So spacious.
You stupid bitch. All right. But either way, what were we getting into before?
Oh, your fucking friend group, AJ.
Right. So, well, that's what, that. Thank you. Okay. He has some friends that I didn't hang out with for a long time, or until a year ago, I guess. Or I knew them somewhat, but I didn't know the chicks. The chicks, we were getting together for his birthday, and he had these stupid hoes with them. And it was like, I told him, I said, the first thing I said to him, I forget if, I might even said something that day to him. I don't know, because I showed up late, and he was already pretty drunk. But so he has some friends in his friend group, and I think I told him that day, I was like, dude, what the fuck is the point of having chicks, like, hanging around chicks? Like, I don't understand. Here's my whole thing. I don't get value from hanging out with chicks. Like, I've just never understood the value of it. I mean, and I think what it stems from, like I said, what it stems from personally in the last episode, how I mentioned, I grew up with that idea of if I don't see myself marrying a girl, I'm not going to have sex with her. And so I might as well not even engage with her, really, other than what I have to. So if I had a class with a chick that I was friends with, right, I would talk to her in the class. Like, I have no problem talking to girls. It's just that was kind of how I grew up. And then when I matured, or whatever you want to call it, when I started listening to Patrice and shit like that, I started to realize, like, there was never a point for me where I wanted to hang out with girls, because I immediately flipped the switch to, I'm going to put it all out there and I'm going to try and fuck her, but I'm not going to be in limbo while I'm friends with her. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of immediately what I switched to. And I personally think that all guys get to a point in that life, in their life, where they don't really feel the need to hang out with girls anymore, because there's just no point to it. And, like, one of the things that I equated to, like, someone prominent who I equated to is Norm MacDonald. He was talking about, there was a chick who said something, who tried to trash him a little bit, who was on SNL, and she said, like, he was supposed to be my guide in SNL and he did nothing for me. And he was like, he just responded with, I'm not, like, I don't hang, I would never hang out with the girls in SNL. He was like, when I was on SNL, there was no point to hang out with girls. Like, what was the point? And that's kind of the way I see it. Like, I don't really see any point to hang out with chicks other than if you're trying to fuck them. And then if you're trying to fuck them, that's different. But I don't see the need, because then you start having guys, and this is what would happen was, like, when we were out, when we go out with AJ's buddies and all, they, like, the girls, first of all, they get really drunk, and then they can't fucking walk and shit. So you're calling them Ubers and you're like, you're taking care of them. Like you have to be worrying about that. And it's like, I get why they call them Ubers. Like if you had a friend who was really drunk and passed out and she got raped because you left her on the beach or something, I would understand. Like, you don't want to do that. I understand the thing, the being responsible and stuff like that. But that's why I said to my buddy AJ, I was like, I wouldn't, like, don't hang out with people who, first of all, don't hang out with people who are going to be irresponsible, and that, you know, you don't want to have to ever be in the situation where, I mean, maybe when you're 20 in college or whatever, it's different. But
Maybe you know, but I'm curious, AJ. So maybe not the top dog, but do you kind of like run this friend group, or who's usually making the plans and like setting what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's a good point. Usually I'm making the plans and setting. I get things started.
So did you first invite these girls, or did another guy in the friend group invite these girls?
I did invite them.
Why did you invite them?
Dude.
I needed so I think girls play a good purpose in bringing clout to a group, and I
exactly.
Oh exactly. My god.
That's why.
Oh,
no, but it's a good point. It's a good point, AJ, that you bring up. Keep going.
So I needed to have all my buddies come for my birthday, and having 10 guys, you know,
it's
go out.
It's a sausage fest. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and go out to bars and stuff. It's just it gets bad reactions, and it makes it hard to make plans, especially when you want to invite more people. They're like, I can't really go with all 10 of you there. Like, I can't bring this chick I'm trying to hook up with. If it's 10 dudes, she won't come. So it's an easier atmosphere when I'm having a birthday and I'm trying to have everybody together. If I mix up the crowd. So I think
this isn't a regular thing.
Useful part in that.
Right. It wasn't. It's not a regular thing. It just opens up. Like, Ryan, the situation you're in, your buddy's bringing that chick around all the time, it sounds like, right?
It's like everything.
Yeah, and she's not even, they're not even together or anything. No. There's a difference, and the other thing you have to remember too is at the point that we're in our life, we're still very young in that sense. Patrice was, you know, when he started getting his, you know, his group of the people on Opie and Anthony and the different comedians, I mean, he was like in his 30s and shit. So they had girls and all, and they would bring their girls around. He would probably bring his girls out to places. I'm just saying, it's just kind of the way that I am. AJ brings up he has his reasoning for it, and I'm fine with that. And like we said, it was a specific scenario. My only thing was they proved me right that night. Like they proved me right that night. And real quick, Patrice had a point where he said, like, when he brings a girl around, you want her to do what you want, like what you want, like you want her to ride with you. You know what I mean? Like, you wanted to be a chick that's cool, right? So he was saying, like, he brought girls around for one of the guys, the Opie and Anthony show, the one guy, Anthony. He had just broken up with his girl or whatever, and he brought girls around that Anthony, like, these big black girls that Anthony was just not into, right? It's known that Anthony was a racist and all that stuff. But he was a little drunk, and it was like, they were cool. He said, and Patrice was like, they did what they had to do. You know what I mean? He was like, she sat on your lap. She pulled a titty out and stuff like that. And he was like, if you want a chick around you who's going to be there to fun, you want her to be fun, right? If she's going to be there to have fun, you want her to be fun or whatever. So that night, not only were they annoying, that night, AJ was like, he was asking the one girl to sit on his lap and all this stuff. And she turns to me and she goes, oh, see how he treats me like I'm a dog, blah, blah, blah. And I turn and look to her. I go, at least he fucking wants you, you dumb bitch. Like, do you know how many fucking chicks would, like, do you know how many, I didn't call her a dumb bitch, but I said to her, I was like, at least, yeah, I have some class. All right, guys, everybody listen, I have some class, but I said to her, I was like, at least he wants you. Like, do you know how many girls would want to sit on his lap? Like, do you know how fucking desirable he is? Like the motherfuckers, you know, he's worth a shitload of money. The dude's a genius. He makes great trades. Ideally, one day he'd maybe even help you guys out financially. Once he has a couple more experience under his belt, he would love to do something like that too. But I didn't say all this. But I said to her, I was like, like, at least he wants you. Like, you're an idiot. I don't know why you're doing that. And she just gave me like this dead stare. She gave me like this dead stare. And then the other bitch who he brought with her, and when he said something to her about it, she came over and sat on his lap. And I'm thinking to myself, just, you feel like a dumbass now, don't you? Like, at least she looks like, at least she actually's having fun. It's like you but that's my point. Like, they proved me right that night. And even AJ, as you just heard, even AJ admitted it. They proved me right that night. They had to get Ubers for these chicks, and they were carrying them around, but practically carrying them around because they could barely walk. And it's like, you know, that's the kind of shit that it's just, I don't see any point to have them around because
the thing is, AJ is not like, AJ, you brought these girls out because you're going out, but like, you wouldn't invite these girls if it wasn't like a party. Like, would you ever like have a board game night with these girls?
No.
Yeah. Right. See, so that's the thing. Exactly. I think what you're not like hanging out with them in a setting that isn't about, that doesn't have a sexual context. Because ultimately, when you're going to a bar or you're going to a club with girls, there is a sexual context. There's an undertone that there's a sexual tension, without a doubt. Right. Like, there's nothing.
Especially when you meet a chick. Like when you meet a chick for the first time, obviously, especially if you're out or whatever, having a couple drinks, dancing, I don't know, whatever the fuck it is, you're like, you know, you obviously want to fuck her.
Yeah, dude. By the way, talking about girls and guys going out, but nothing happening. I went to this open mic, man, and in the front row, there was three dudes and this blonde girl who was pretty cute. And this guy went up and he was like, which of the guys are you dating? And she's like, I'm dating none of them. And the guy was fucking with them and shit. And it was a weird reflection for me, because the thing is, it was kind of like when our friend group would go out and this guy in the group started inviting this girl out with us. It's weird. It's weird seeing one girl with a bunch of guys. Because it's you almost in a right. way it like if she's not dating any of the guys. The other thing is, if I'm dating a girl and I'm hanging out with my guys, I don't want her to be there. I just want to hang out with my guys.
It changes the dynamic of everything. It's not you're not hanging around with the guys anymore when you bring a girl around.
Yeah,
you're acting like a bitch around other guys. That's what it turns into.
Yeah, and these guys, it was hysterical because. The comics started fucking with these guys, like they kind of saw them as a target. So like the people after the one comic that talked to them kept on talking to them, and it was like you know, the guys are trying to fuck you,
right?
And the girl was like laughing because she knows right. they want to fuck her,
right?
And I think, I don't know, man. I think to me, I think the problem is that with guys like that, is the only reason why guys do that in the first place is because they think somehow it's increasing their odds of sleeping with her.
Right, again, pussy.
Because ultimately, guys would like. I think that's the big mind trick. Is that it's kind of like, well, like, so with AJ, when you're going there and you're bringing these girls, you already have an idea of what you want to get out of it. You're not hanging out with them on the idea of them giving you something later.
That's a good point, Ryan.
You're not like. You're already getting what you want out of it. If they don't sleep with you guys, it's fine, because your initial reason for having them in the first place is it's to change the dynamic. It's when you go to the club, you don't want to just be a group of guys. There's some girls that – the other thing is, if you go to a bar with some girls, other girls will see that. And you probably know what I'm talking about, AJ. Like,
exactly.
If other girls right. see you with a couple of girls, they're going to feel 100 times more attracted to you. Because it's like they already know some girls are into you and want to hang out with you, and it's not, they can go up and talk to the girls and then talk to you.
But the thing is, like, but the thing that we talked about, which we can get into a little more, because I just really want to explain your situation really quickly. But to add on to that, the thing is that, and this is what I said to you, Ryan, when we first talked, I've changed my mentality when I go out. My goal is not to get pussy. And I realized that I just don't need that to be my goal to have a good time. That's one of the things that Patrice helped me realize. So to, you know, this might be some guys might not like me to say this or whatever, but when I go out, that's just not my goal. So I don't feel the need to change who I am when I'm around chicks. Yeah. because it's just not my goal to sleep with them. I've been able to get rid of that editing system, and I know I just recently said how I didn't call that girl a dumb bitch, but I don't really consider editing. I said what I wanted to say, but so that's what I've become. That's kind of what I've been able to do after listening to Patrice, and it's helped me a lot to just keep my happiness. I mean, every interaction I have with a chick, I come out of it happy. You know what I mean? And as before, I wasn't able to say that. But real quick, just to explain your point for people who don't know, you have a, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have a friend group, and a girl somehow found her way into the friend group and joins you guys when you go out to bars or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And this one guy in your friend group said he came out with his feelings or whatever for this chick. He said, I want to date you or whatever it is. She said no, and now she still hangs out with you guys, and you suspect this guy is the guy who always lets her know when you guys are hanging out. But either way, she still hangs out with you guys, and he basically is a simp for her. Like, he essentially does things for her, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know. Not that it matters. I mean, not as if we really need examples, but he just does things for her. He just helps her. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's on a, obviously, simping is on a spectrum. Like, there's some big-tier simps, and then there's some small-time, but it's more the – it's kind of the mentality of, like – tell me if also this makes sense. This is how I try to explain to my friend. It's like me trying to sell you a cookie for, like, $5, and then you say – and I bought it for $2, let's say. And you're like, you say, you know what? I won't do $5. I'll do $1. And I say, sure. But like, I'm selling at a loss. Like, right. But if I say no, it's like in my head, I'm thinking I'm still getting $1 of the $2 I spent, but it's like, you're still losing. And you should commit to like standing your ground or finding
something. And you don't even get that dollar. And that's the thing, to even go off of that, when you actually turn to the simping, you end up not even getting that dollar. You're doing all of it on the promise of the dollar, on the promise of receiving the dollar. You're not even getting the dollar. So,
all right, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
All right, so Ryan, I really like what you said about the intent. Like, when I went out with the girls, it wasn't for, the chance to maybe hook up with one of them. Whereas in your friend group, as long as this girl leaves, even though she said no, in this dude's mind, there's still at least a 1% chance that he could hook up with her or whatever. And as long as there's that chance, there's some guys who are like, you know, they're friend zoned, but they still think they can get out the friend zone or whatever it is. And that chance is what really screws a lot of guys
up. I think the big problem, man, is the denial, which is the reality is, it's like, because how he rationalized it. And at the surface, it seems really rational. It's like, dude, I can still have a friendship with this girl, and it can still be satisfying. And it's like, well, yeah, I still got $1, right? Or maybe I got 50 cents. But the thing is, it's like, ultimately, you want more, and they're not willing to give you that. And how I view it is, you have a limited amount of slots, you have a limited amount of time, and you have a limited amount of people you can fill with that time. And if you want X out of a relationship, and someone's only giving you why, you're wasting that time on this person where it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
You could have been using that time to find someone else that wants X as well.
Right.
And I think it's like, she's obviously getting what she wants out of the relationship, but he's not getting what he wants. And I feel like it's the thing is, it's most damaging to himself, because I feel like even no friendship with a woman.
And it messes with your dynamic too of going out. Like, it's a pain when you're around guys who are simping for chicks. It's just a pain in the ass, because you just have to end up like, I'm the type of guy, I don't hold back what I say. So that's why I said to you, I would just be honest with them. Just when he would do something stupid like that, I would just say, dude, she's not gonna fuck you. Grow the hell up. Like honestly, and that's why I said to you, it's not about, you can't. I mean, you could make the argument that it's somewhat short-sighted, but the way I look at it is, what you feel in your gut is the best thing to do. If you feel something in your gut, and you don't know how to, you don't know how to deal with it other than just explain it, right? Like, if there's no, like, if you find yourself needing advice, chances are you probably have the answer. You're just in denial of even your answer. So that's why I say my whole thing with this show is like, taking your gut feelings and being able to just go right to your mouth, just the way women do. Women say dumbass shit That's just gut feelings, and they just say it, and they don't think about it, and no one forces them to think about it.
Yeah, my gut feeling on that thing, man, my main initial reaction wasn't like a stop simping thing. It was like it was more like stop shooting yourself in the foot. Like you're trying to you think you're helping yourself, but you're really not.
Right.
But to me, I see it as self-sabotage. And like obviously that's when you say that to people hate hearing that because no one wants to think that they're their villain. You know what I mean? They want to think someone else is the villain. But I don't know. It's just like Yeah, man.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
I found out she's dating a guy that's not on a friend group. He's like completely surrounded. Yeah, and I found out about this and I was like, and the thing is it had been going on for weeks and nobody told me. I was like, yo, this has been going on for a minute. Like this isn't even like what the fuck?
And that's what I'm saying. Like you this is and AJ, did you have something that you wanted to add to that?
I had a question for you. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know, how do you deal with people who kind of like, you know, you have a guy and he has a terrible girlfriend and you want him to realize that and break up. But he's like, no, she's my girlfriend. I love her. But everybody sees how bad the relationship. He just won't understand it because he's so biased. How do you get people like that to accept?
I'm happy you brought that up, man, because I have a really good friend of mine who's been dating this girl for years. And like, it's getting to the point where like they've lived together for a year. I don't want to give too many details just in case they suss this shit out. But like they're really close together. And the thing is that I think this girl, and this is my gut feeling, is this girl has bad intentions. And I don't think she's an honest person. And I don't think the things I've seen her do to people, because I knew her for a while. I've only seen her. She does. I personally think this. I wouldn't say she's a sociopath, but I do think she's the type of person that thinks from the standpoint of relationships as what can I get out of this person? Right. And honestly, you should respect yourself. You shouldn't let someone abuse you, but you shouldn't think only from the perspective, what can I get out of this person? You know, that's a very manipulative mindset. And I think this guy is kind of her mark.
I think you're giving too much credit to women, I got to be honest. I think you're giving too much credit.
It's more this girl in particular. It's not a lot of women. It's this one's definitely, I say special, but
I don't
not
think
in the
they're smart
way.
Enough to think about it like that.
Well, no.
See,
like this,
I'll tell
no,
you what, though.
This girl, no, because this guy, man, has some, like, deep-rooted issues. And, like, yeah. I know him very close, so I know a lot of his, like past and stuff. And, like,
right.
This woman is targeting insecurities and like, personal
right,
shit of his
right.
that 99% of people don't know. And it's like this woman has been able to figure out the personal shit and target that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I think though, to AJ's point, I think certain things you just kind of have to let ride and the guys have to learn it for themselves.
Yeah.
I can't because you can't force people to do things. Like you can't force guys to smarten up. That's why, like, that's one of the reasons I wanted to start this channel and this podcast is because I can't force guys to, like, I think Patrice has changed my life. And I say that all the time. I'm not shy about it. I truly think he saved my life. And I can't force guys to be saved as well. Like, I wish all guys knew what I know now. But I can't force it. So I do this channel, and I hope guys listen to it. I hope they like it. And it is what it is. So I think that's why, like, that's the only thing I add. I would urge guys to not take the mentality of thinking you can go out changing everybody's lives and making them do stuff. I think that's kind of a childish mentality to have. And I wouldn't make that your goal because I think you're going to be upset constantly because you can't force people to do things.
I think the main thing is it's doing what you're doing, which is you're talking and speaking your truth and saying like what you think, because that's all you can do. You can't control other people's behavior. And with AJ, I think the guy, like when you, because you see some guys that are trapped in relationships. And the thing is, I'm not here to defend all women, but it's like, obviously there's some women that are also in a trap, you know, they're dating some guy who beats them every night. Like, and for some reason they fuck that guy. Like women and men get trapped in relationships. And what it is
this is what I'm against. I don't want to talk about what women.
I'm just saying men and women get trapped in relationships. But the thing is, it's like what I've learned, what helped me, man, was like the only piece of education you can give someone to realize if they're in a toxic relationship is, have you ever heard of the drama triangle?
No, I've never heard that.
Dude, this shit is psychological thing. It's so fucking true. I'm not gonna fucking do a whole thing on it, but like, it basically, in every toxic relationship, there's three roles, and I think it's 100% true. And it's basically you have a judge, a victim, and savior. And basically, what ends up happening is, like when I was in a toxic relationship, basically what happened was I was the savior. And this girl was like the victim and the judge. So what ends up happening is you need all three roles, because it's basically the whole thing with the three roles is it makes sure that nothing ever really gets accomplished. Each role will always have something to do.
I see what you're saying. That's what locks in the relationship.
Yeah.
That's a whole another thing that we could talk about. I don't know if we necessarily have to get into that right now, because I don't like the idea of just saying, oh, there are toxic relationships. Mm. I think for the general public, I mean, relative to something else, every relationship could be toxic. Like, I look at the relationship I grew up with my parents, that could be considered toxic.
But I think
they had a great relationship,
is it net positive or net negative?
I don't even know. I feel like there's not even a way to, how can you judge that? Like, this is why I say, this is why I want the show to be from the man's point of view. I think the man's point of view, if you focus on the man's point of view, you're going to end up saving something. Like, you're going to end up on the right side of the tracks or on the right side of the end result. That's, like, I believe that men truly have the ability to save society, and it starts with your happiness. It starts with saving your happiness. If every kingdom can achieve that happiness, the society will be happy, right? And it starts with the king on his kingdom. So the way I look at it, I don't care about what women go through. Like, I really don't. And if you actually wanted to get into toxic relationships, then that's something that I just don't really feel that passionately about, because I think if you really want to get into it, you have to go into each specific one. And even at that point, every relationship could be considered toxic.
What about relationships
that are too strong? Those could even be considered toxic. The ones that have the stupid, like the one the other day that was like, oh, how to have a 20-year relationship. And it was this bitch holding up a sign, and the guy was just like, it was like, you know that no guy in their right mind would have a relationship of 20 years and go, hey, sweetie, we should make a video for social media about our 10 keys to success. Like that's just stupid shit. Like, I would consider that toxic. That's clearly a relationship where the bitch is in control and the man's just being pulled around on a leash.
Well, man, here's the thing. I just define a relationship as toxic as something that just detracts more from your life than adds more. It's like, obviously it's hard to determine something's net negative or net positive. I think it's just a gut feeling kind of thing. Like, you have to determine yourself deep down how you feel about a relationship, if you think it's net negative or net positive.
Right.
But like, that's how I define it. And I think toxic relationships, like, I'm just diagnosing what it is. I'm not saying like it's toxic for the girl or the guy. I'm just saying that. And the thing is, man, the reason why I bring up the drama triangle thing and like relationships being toxic is that they have patterns to them. Like, a lot of negative relationships aren't special. Like, they follow the same pattern.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I get it.
Have you ever, Rick, like, who's a girl you dated that you thought, like, you broke up with her?
What are you getting at? Like, what do you want me to do?
Is there a girl you dated and you broke up with her?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, why'd you break up with her?
Not talking to her.
Well, yeah. So obviously, it was a negative relationship. But
here's my thing. Yeah. Here's what I'm getting into. Like, I just don't think it's worth it for the show to get into a toxic relationship. Like, that's all I'm talking about. I want to stick with the man's point of view. When you start to get into a toxic relationship, I don't think there's any reason for it. It's not going to help.
I didn't give a man's point of view to a toxic relationship.
I just mean I don't want to, like, this isn't a relationship show, so I don't really care about relationships. How Patrice always said, this isn't a relationship show, and this is what I want to get into. This lifestyle, like, Patrice's whole thing, Patrice would say over and over, he would always say, this isn't a relationship show. If you guys listen to when he was on Opie and Anthony and he was fighting Dr. Z, or not fighting, but he was talking to her, and she kept saying, give concrete advice on how to get pussy. And he would say, there is none. There's no advice. And I would say the same thing. Like, I can't give advice to guys on how to get pussy. This is not about getting pussy. This has nothing to do with it. It is a mentality. Like, I'm telling you, I grew up in a lifestyle that I because of the way my mom was, I used to think to myself, how am I ever going to be happy with my life when this is my view of women, right? Like, if your mom is supposed to be your model of women, mm-hmm. how can I get through in life when my model of what women are is this, is just constant nagging, constant trying to take you down, you know what I mean? And it's not even – it's super subtle too. Like, it's constantly constantly prove that they're above you. That's basically what I grew up with. And it wasn't even necessary to me, maybe. It was to my dad. Like, I saw how it affects my dad as well. And it's like, when I saw that and I saw other guys who, as I mentioned before, I was exposed to guys who were in more advanced relationships, who grew up with, who had a mom. And when they were around their mom, they would be like in misery. And I thought to myself, how the fuck am I going to be 45 or 50 years old when I go to, or if she's still alive, I'll go to visit my mom for the holidays, and I have to be miserable, you know what I mean? And I have to just be constantly telling her, like, shut up, because the stuff you're saying is stupid. Like, I don't want to live in that misery. And this is why I say I grew up, and you could certainly say we're a product of our environment. I grew up in that misery and seeing guys in that misery. So for me, it is a mentality on just your happiness. I don't consider women at all. Like, I don't consider getting pussy at all when I live my life. I never think of it as a reason to do something. Like, I just do what I want to do to stay happy. And that's what – so, like, the way I see a toxic relationship, all that stuff, you're already getting too involved. It's like you're not thinking about your happiness already right off the bat. Like, you started off that relationship not thinking about your happiness, in my opinion.
That's how
I look at it. So that's why I say this show isn't about toxic relationships. If I had somebody call up or whatever it was and they said, hey, I'm in a toxic relationship, like, I have no problem maybe diving into it and trying to help you, but my advice is always going to be get out of it. Like, if you listen to Patrice's show, guys would call up, and what did he always say at the end? You got to be willing to take the L. Like, he would always tell them, you have to be willing to leave. Like, and that's why his relationship advice was, if you look into Patrice's relationship advice, it wasn't really that great. His advice was, if you had a specific problem, he could give you advice on how to solve it. But if you had relationship problems, he would always just, his advice was basically always leave. Like, that was always his advice, because, again, this isn't a relationship show. So that's why I just want to say, to reinforce the point that I wanted to make, was this is a mentality. This is a way of life. Like, this is something that – like, seriously, it's hard work. It's tiring. I live, eat, and breathe this shit. Like it's just – it's my mentality, and it's how I think.
Wait, and, has there ever been a time in your life where – and this isn't like a – there isn't like a – I'm not trying to guide you towards an answer. I'm just genuinely curious. Has there been a time in your life where a relationship was negative, and then because of something you did, it turned positive?
Hey, before you answer this, Rick, I gotta head out. So,
all right,
I'm sad. I'm gonna miss the meaning to life that you're about to come up with. But Ryan, it was great to meet you.
Nice meeting you, bro.
Pleasure.
Yeah, dude. We'll talk.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, man. Right. See ya. So, there are things. Yes. Like, I've had times, like, I'll give you an example. Like, I've had times where I thought I was going into a friendship with the girl, and when we would hang out, believe it or not, what I would actually start doing is I'd look at other girls. Like, I'd comment other girls to her.
Yeah.
So, I would literally talk about how hot other girls were, and she would get really pissed at me, and that fucking sealed the deal. She was in love with me. Like, but I didn't think about it at the time. Like, it's just stuff you do, and this is why I say to guys, I like to think I'm somebody who's very, very reflective, and I can be very honest with myself. And I would encourage every guy, I'm telling you, it starts with your honesty. So for me, doing those things, it came naturally to me. It wasn't a plan. And most of my shit is like girls just get sick of me because I stop talking. Like, I don't want to deal with them anymore. It's not even talking. I just don't want to deal with them anymore. I don't want to be with them anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like, girls just kind of get sick of that. And And it's not like if I was standing here, if I was a 24 years old, starting this show, telling you guys, oh, I want this crazy relationship, blah, blah, blah. Like somebody, my point of view, and Ryan, your point of view, 22 years old, we shouldn't want to be in relationships. We're way too young to be in a relationship right now.
I don't even think it's a too young thing. I think the problem is your goal should never be, because it's something out of your control.
Right.
It's like wanting to win at the casino. You can't, if you desire it, it doesn't help you win at the casino anymore.
Right. But what I was going to add to that was, here's how I equate it. I reference nature and shit sometimes, so we'll get into it. But one of the things I reference in nature is lions. I think we personally have a lot in common with lions. And one of the things about lions, about male lions, that you'll notice is that after about a year and a half or 2 years of life, they get kicked out of – from a year and a half to two. Whenever they mature to the point really where they start infringing on the males – the dominant male's territory, he'll kick them out of the pride, right? And they go through – all male lions go through about 2 years of solitude, or maybe they group up with other males. But the point is they go through years where they don't encounter females. And for a lion, this is to get into it. This is how to equate it to humans. If it's about 2 years of a lion's life, the average life expectancy of a wild lion is, I don't like 10 years, I think, is 8 to 10 years. That's a fifth of their life that they turn into a man. And seriously, what those 2 years are is learning how to be a man. Like, honestly, learning how to be a male lion. That's what those 2 years are. They develop the testosterone physically. They develop a lot of testosterone. And just mentally, they develop the experience they need to have a pride. And the way I see it, like with men, you need that time in your life to become a man. Like, you need that time in your life to become a man without a woman's influence, without a strong influence from women. Let's say that. Yeah. That's the phrasing I was looking for. Without a strong influence of women, you need that time in your life without strong influence of women to become a man, in my opinion. And so I honestly, personally believe, I think you could need a good 10 years, easy. I mean, easy. That's on the low side if we're equating it to male to lions, right? Like, so that's the way I look at it. I don't think I'd be able to give you good advice, a 24-year-old guy just kind of entering real adulthood. Like, I'm just – like, I'm young. Like, a 35-year-old guy listens to this and he goes, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Wait, you're 24? You know
what I mean? Yeah.
So, I'm 22. I thought you were older.
So exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, we have a lot of time to learn. Like, you and me have a lot of time to learn where we're going to become the men we're going to be. So if I was sitting here telling guys, oh, I have great advice on relationships, I'd be laughed at. It's like, it's ridiculous. Like, I can't, if I told you that my goal was to be in a great relationship at 24, a 35-year-old would be laughing at me. A 20-year-old or an 18-year-old would be like, oh, yeah, that's great advice. Or he's going to give great advice. He's got 6 years on me. But I don't actually have that. Like, what I have is I know right now my goal is to be happy. My goal at 50 is to be happy. My goal at 60 is to be happy, whatever it is. Now, a 50 or 60-year-old might listen to that and say, you know, you still don't know shit. You might be miserable, whatever. But my goal is to be happy. These jokes that are like, oh, when you're 12, you know, soak it up now if you're a 12-year-old because that's the best time of your life. Or if you're a 15-year-old. It's like, exactly, I hate that. It's like the best time of my life is right fucking now because I'm making it now. Like, you understand what I'm saying? At 30 years old, I hope I still have that mentality. A 35-year-old might be looking and see like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're super naive. And it's like, if that's the case, fuck it. I hope I'm not still naive at 30 then. Because it's like that's just the life I want to live. Like, I just want to be happy. I don't ever want to look back at my life and think that I'm miserable now because I was happy back then.
Because also, the other problem is like when people prioritize other people's happiness, it's like then that person then also that it also is a disservice to that person, because that person then, if they're happy, like if they're not happy,
it keeps the cycle, you know, going, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's like it's right. a, it, it, it just it it's Yeah, it's not good for you or anyone else.
And it just perpetuates
the idea. I also hate people who think they can make other people happy if they're not happy. Like, I think that's such a stupid... When people are like, I'm not happy...
What do you mean? You mean if someone's not happy, they think they can make other people happy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if your life is shit and you're depressed, how are you going to cheer someone else up? People who think they can do that, I don't think it's... Yeah, I don't think it's real. I don't think it's real. Like, maybe you tell them a joke, maybe you hug them, but fundamentally, you're really not going to change... You're not going to be able to go, hey, I live a happy life. Let me show you how to also have a happy life. If you can't make your life happy, how are you going to make someone else's life happy?
Right. And
And that's why I like when, Austin, you're so adamant about pursuing your own happiness and prioritizing that, because people... The way people misinterpret that is they think, oh, you only care about yourself and you don't care about anyone else. It's like, how you can't even care about someone else if you don't care about yourself. It's like, you're just, and the first step's the most important, because if you don't hit the first step, how are you going to hit the eighth step?
Right. And in reality, it's almost arrogant to think you can care about other stuff. Like, I have, like, here's the way I look at it, right? When you have stuff going on all over the world or all over the country, it's like that part of the country or the world, it has a support system. They can figure it out. We don't need to figure it out for everybody. You're almost arrogant thinking you can figure it out for everybody. Like, that's why I say for this show, and what I want to do is, like, I can confidently tell you that I am very happy where I am right now, and I know that that's the most important thing to me. So because I'm somebody who likes to talk, and because, you know, I can get along really well with people and whatnot, and I just think there's a huge importance in talking. Like, I place a lot of importance on speech. The whole thing with the texting and all, I have no problem with the texting. But once we stop mastering speech, that's a problem. So for me, it's like I figured I'm not gonna guarantee everybody happiness. But what I'm gonna tell you is that I'm open with myself. I'm honest with other people and myself. So I can figure out how to make me happy, and I hope people can as well, right? Like, that's the whole thing. So that's why I say, like, when I stick to the men's point of view and stuff, I'm looking out for men. The way I see it, men have this ability to capture this mentality of being happy and obtaining our happiness.
Wait, I'm curious.
Yeah.
What would you say, what's the main things you did differently? Like, when you started prioritizing your happiness.
Honesty. Like, seriously. It was literally just saying what I thought was the right thing to say. Like, and it's not even, and downstream from that is not caring about what other people think of you, honestly. And not to get into too much detail, one of the things I think that held me back, another thing that shaped me, not only my upbringing, I actually was born with a couple leg disabilities. And because of that, I wasn't able to do a lot of things that other guys could do. Sports wise and stuff like that. I was always terrible at sports that needed you to be able to run and shit like that because of my legs. And you wouldn't notice it looking at me. I walk normal and all that stuff, but it affected me a lot because I was, you know, people don't understand, like, some men understand this, right? Women don't understand what it's like to constantly live in a life of being incompetent, because from the moment women are born, everything's about them. They get off the hook for everything. The marriage is all about them. You can't hit women. Women are always seen as nice, and they're always seen as right and truthful. So it's like everything's about this. This is why I say their insecurities are bullshit, because I mentioned this in the last podcast. I'm not going to get into it. They make it up on their own. The world doesn't force them to be insecure about anything. All beauty and all that stuff, the whole beauty industry is all women. If the beauty industry closed down and all the women just said, you know what, we're not wearing makeup, do you think all of a sudden guys would stop fucking them? No. It's all perpetuated by them. You know what I mean? So this is why I say men actually live in that world of not being adequate. And I had to fight through that a lot because of my leg issues. I had to fight through that a lot. It was something that was just every day, every second of my life, it was always very apparent to me that I had to push through. And this is why I say what it helped me realize was, one, being honest – just saying what I thought was right, and then learning how to not care. Like, seriously, learning how to not care about what people thought of you. And for a long time, that took me so long to get over because it was in my face every day with my legs. I was always worried about what people thought. And this is what I say now. Like, I used to be the kind of guy who I would maybe get into discussions or fights with somebody on the internet and, like, on Reddit, iFunny, all that stuff. And I couldn't let stuff go. And I'm one of those people who I would get into an argument for a long ass time with somebody because I couldn't let stuff go. And seriously, I started being able to support everybody. Like, when I get into a fight with the guy, at the end of it, I'm always just like, you do your thing, dude. I'll even say, you fucking won. I don't care. You won the fight. Like, I seriously have dropped that ego. I don't care anymore because all I care about is men finding out what makes them happy. It's like, seriously, that's why I say I eat, sleep, and breathe this shit, dude. Like, that's honestly all I care about. So for me, I learned how to speak my mind and not care about what people thought on the back end. And that made all the difference for me. Like, and it's something that sounds so easy, but it takes a lot of practice.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning. So that's why I say, anybody listening to this, you're 15, 16 years old. It's you have to go through, hardships to really get stronger. You have to go through misery to get stronger. You have to go through loneliness to get stronger. Like, you have to go through these things to actually become who you're going to be in life. And that's why I say, I still have so much learning to do, right? Like, but this is why I say, those lions, they have, you know, lions have those 2 years of solitude and whatnot to become who they are. And this is why I say to you, women are never going to, women don't go through that the way you do. Women, yeah. Women, first of all, women could stay at home as long as they really would need to. And what happens when they leave the home? They find a man, right? And instantly move in with the man. And then what happens when the man goes away? They have kids, right? So they're never alone, right? Like, and what I mean by that is, like, if the man's away at work, they're at home taking care of the kids. So, like, my point is, they are never alone. And even if they are alone, okay, nowadays women are starting to become more independent, right? So they get out of college, they get a job, and they're alone for the first 2 years. They live in the, like, they don't get the same thing out of being alone as we get.
It's all also, they choose to. Like, it's they, like, right? When you're talking about how they make up their insecurities, it's making up a challenge. It's not, they don't need to do that. They don't need to go to college. They don't need to be independent.
They can just find a man.
Yep.
Exactly. And that's the thing. That's the exact thing, is, like, they don't, so, like, downstream from that, they don't take out of solitude what we take out of it, right? If a chick chooses to be alone for 2 years before she finds a man and gets married and starts a family, she's the same bitch she was 2 years prior. Like, they don't grow. If a man takes 2 years off and travels or whatever it is, he learns. Even if he works a job alone in a house, he learns how to be a man, right? From making choices. Women, they don't actually learn because they're taught how to be a woman from us. They're taught how to be that. Like, so this is why I say it's downstream from you, fellas. It is downstream from you. This is why I say, this is why the message of the whole podcast is men finding out what makes them happy, because I'm telling you, a successful society is downstream from happy men, from honest men, right? This is why I believe this stuff. This is why I don't bring women stuff into this. Like, I don't really, this is why I say, like, it's not a relationship show. It's not about what you can do, what both sides can do to make it better. This is not about what women can do. I don't even care if a chick says to me she's an anti-feminist. Like, I'm against feminism, right? Whatever. It is what it is. There's a lot of guys that are. If a chick comes up to me and says she's against feminism, I don't take that as a plus. I don't really care what she's against.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter to me. She's still going to do shit. She's still a woman. Like, she still is going to do stuff that I'm going to have to look out for, and I'm going to have to fight to keep my happiness. Does that make sense? Like, I don't ever want guys to be disarmed and think they don't have to fight anymore to keep their happiness. So don't let a chick say, oh, I'm a gamer, or I like to hang out with the boys. I love to joke. I have a great sense of humor. Whatever it is, even girls who like to cook and clean, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you got to know what I like. Like, I don't care what you like to do. Like, if you want to be with me, you got to know what I'm buying. I don't care about what you're selling.
Yeah, how I view it, man, is it's kind of like, you know how, like, your boss will give you a contract, and then you sign the contract for, like, let's say a year. It's not like when you show up to work every day, like, you can't be doing what the contract says. Because if you start messing up, like, you'll lose the contract, and, like, the contract always gets renewed. Like, I feel like with women, every day you spend around them, they obviously want something, and you want something. And the problem is, it's like, it's not like because you agreed to something yesterday, they can't change what they want to tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, every time you talk to them, like, they can ask for more. And it's like, I think what you're saying is, it's kind of like, just because they agreed to something yesterday doesn't mean they can't tomorrow be like, oh, I actually want more for the same amount of price. Like,
And the thing is, to add on to that, here's the other dynamic. Here's the other thing where women fall short. They, like you said, women have things that they want. We have things that we want. All right. Naturally, we have goals. Instinctually, we have things that we're fighting for. But here's the difference between men and women. Here's where they fall short. They don't know how to get what they want. So ultimately, that dynamic.
It's just funny because it's like, what's funny about that is, like, there's women who are like, who get PhDs, who spend all these years doing things, and they're still not happy. They're still not happy. And they still don't feel satisfied.
This is why I say, exactly. And this is why this is why I make this point. What you just described, how women flip-flop and they never know what they really want, it comes downstream from the fact that they don't really know what to get what they want. So at the end of the day, what they want doesn't matter because they don't know how to get it. This is why I say to men, this is why, again, I want this show to be about men. I believe men, listen to this, you know how to get what you want. So even if you think you don't right now, at 16, you obviously don't know how to get, even at 24, like, I think I know what I want to get right now. In 2 days, that could be different. In a year, that could be different. In 5 years, that could be different. But I am confident. I wake up every morning confident that I know how to get what I want out of that day, right? Out of this coming day, right? Like, and yeah, obviously I can't predict the future, but that's my point. And that's why I say it's just a mentality. Like, this is the mentality that I've adopted, and it's what keeps me happy. And
you know what's good about
that?
It's
a safeguard. For my mental, for my happiness.
What's also good about that, man, is, like, I think it is a reasonable goal. I don't think it's unreasonable to achieve your own happiness. But and I think what's the importance is, like, because it's impossible to ever get something for someone else. Like, that's internal.
Point.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a losing battle. Like, and when you're talking about how women don't actually know how to get what they want and that dichotomy, it's like, in a way, what you're saying, you're just telling guys to not be bitches. You're telling guys to be like dudes.
Right. You know what? Thank you for bringing that up, because I don't want to seem like this is just a monologue and I'm the only guy and I'm just the crazy psycho who's saying all this shit.
I don't think you're a psycho. I think what it is, man, is I think for some reason, I think what it is that people think they're morally, not necessarily superior, but they think they're either morally enlightened or they're moral. They think their morality is somehow better if they prioritize other people. Like, there's this kind of weird pride in, like, taking care of other people before yourself.
Right, and I'll tell you what, that goes into two great things that I want to bring up. One, back to what you said before, I like it. Like what you said, how you're just telling dudes to be dudes. That's my point. Like, I personally believe my mentality is how guys normally are. This world today, this social media, and just being around women 24/7, it's fucking up our mentality. It's destroying us. That's why we have so – yeah, what's up?
Can I actually talk about that, dude? Like, I how that applies to my life, man, is, like, my natural, like, attitude on a lot of things is I want to just do things my way. You know what I mean?
Right. A lot of guys are like that.
Yeah.
Most guys are like that. Any guy who isn't like that, he's any guy who's not, your way is the best way, Ryan. That's why you're like that. Your way is going to see.
That's what I tell my mom all the time. I go, let's do things my way, because when we do it my way, it works.
Right. But that's what I'm saying to you. For your life, for your path, Ryan, for your goals, your way is the best way. You can't follow somebody else's way. That's the point. We This mentality creates civilizations. America is where it is today because of this mentality. Because motherfuckers woke up every morning and said, I know where the fuck I want to be. And my way is the right way. And you know what? When their right way turned out to be the wrong way, they reassessed, maybe talked to another guy. Hey, this is what you did. Right. And they learned. So this is why I'm saying, like, this is why I said to you, your way is the right way. Even if it's the wrong way, it's the right way. Like, because it doesn't matter. The wrong way doesn't matter, because all the wrong way is ever going to do is lead you to failure. So you might as well live your life thinking it's the right way. And when you fail, acknowledge it, accept it, don't deny it, acknowledge it, and learn from it. Dude, right? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, what I like about me is if I listen to someone else's advice and I completely ignore any of my own feelings and then it fails, it's not like they get a consequence. It's only I who gets a consequence. That's so a it's like, point. Why should I let someone else make decisions for me when it doesn't affect them? They're not also going to want to make – they don't have an incentive to make the best decisions, because at the end of the day, it's like, if they lose, who cares, right? So if you don't – if there's no risk, it's like, why would you care? It's like playing poker. Like, if you don't have any money on the poker table, there's nothing wrong with just going all in. There's no risk, you know what I mean? So you can do the stupidest shit you want. And dude, I think what I like about what you're saying, like – the main thing I noticed with my life, when you're talking about like going off of your gut and doing things your way, is like, it's also when you succeed, you know it's because of you. It's not because of someone else.
Right. And I say that exactly. And I say that all the time. This life, right? This life of a man is a lot of responsibility, but it's a big payoff when you actually live it, right? Like, you have to take responsibility. This is why I say it's your fault. The second video I made, I think it's your fault. That entails taking responsibility for your failures and your successes. And that's what this world is losing. We're not taking responsibility for anything anymore. So yeah, okay, it's very easy to blame the government now for all these problems, or to blame cops, right? Or even to blame like local officials or whatever it is, or to blame associations, or to blame you know what I mean, groups, right? You know, interest groups, whatever, or corporations. It's very — and I'm not saying maybe they're not to blame, but what I'm saying is it's very easy to blame them, but what you don't realize is you're not taking responsibility for any successes anymore. And all this world is doing is it's what's perpetuating this fake life, right? And this is why I say, when you take responsibility, this is one of the reasons I equated it to the Batman trilogy. If you go back to the video, the Batman trilogy with Christian Bale, when he got rid of that rope, you like the analogy?
Dude, I think that analogy was like a game changer for me, bro. I love that
This is the thing. When he let go of that rope, that fear that found him was an innate fear, right? That you can't explain. It was something that just kicked him into gear in a way that you — nobody knows, but everybody has the ability to feel, right?
Well, have the ability. Real quick.
That's what the responsibility is. That responsibility — my argument about it's your fault — that responsibility is an innate responsibility that every man should feel in their life. Every man should feel the responsibility for their failure and their successes. And this world is taking that away from us. It's taking that innate natural responsibility that we should feel. And that's one of the reasons you have so many mental issues and so many just guys who feel like their life's done for, you know what I mean, and all this stuff. It's like, that's why we're losing the grip of this stuff, because we're not feeling that innate responsibility. You know what I mean? So that was the whole point.
That's so true. Like, what I was going to say is, what's so great about like that fear is it's a healthy fear, because it's having chips at the table. It means now when you win, it means something. And when you lose, it means something. And now it's real. And now now it forces you to care. And with responsibilities, that's so true. Like, I've noticed this, like, as I've gotten older, like, that's why I've been happier. Like, I have more shit that's I have to take care of. Right. Like, when you're young, your parents are kind of they don't want to give you a responsibility, because they think, oh, you're a kid, and, like, you know, what do you know? And sometimes that's valid, sometimes it isn't.
It's usually valid, let's be
honest. I guess it depends on how what age I'm talking. I guess right. When you're 7, yeah, you don't know shit. but when you're in high school or like 20, you know, it's like you have more responsibilities and you should have more. And like what I've noticed is the more things that you're doing, it makes it a lot happier because now you feel like when you're moving forward, it's because of you and like
right.
You have more things to do. Like today I had more responsibilities than I did like last week. Like I've noticed like every week I've been adding more and more to my plate and I've been feeling better. Like when I have more and more shit I have to do, I feel better. I'm like, man, I'm getting more shit done. I'm doing more stuff. I have to take care of this. I have to take care of that. And like, I'm not like, oh, I have all the shit I have to do. This sucks. It's like, I love the fact that I have all this shit to do.
Right. And to that point, even if you don't have a lot of stuff to do, like I like to relax. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a super like crazy hard worker or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, I relax all the time. It's like, it's just that you begin, and this is why I say you can't really explain it. It's something that kicks back in that purpose for life, that social media and all this interaction and stuff in this fake world that it will take from you. And this is why I say you could be doing nothing, but if you're responsible for it, it's that feeling that you can't explain. Like I can't even explain it. I'm having trouble explaining it right now.
It's you also like I mean? you earned the relaxation. It's like like you earned that reward. It's not like you're relaxing because someone else took your responsibilities. It's like I earned this relaxation.
Right. And it goes into things like it's so much deeper than like even surface things. Like I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it, but like it's a type of responsibility that it's in everything. And what you don't realize, like we got into this vaccine when you and me were on the call, and I hate getting into stuff that's polarizing. I don't want to do polarizing stuff because I don't want people to possibly miss out on good information just because they think I'm an anti-vaxxer or I'm not an anti-vaxxer. You know what I mean? Because obviously, I feel like the anti-vax stuff is really big amongst the young, like our kids, our age, like guys, our age. Like if you look on like iFunny, they're like super against the vaccine and stuff.
Really?
But either way, here's my thing I didn't like about the vaccine. What happens when you get the vaccine and somebody still gets sick and dies? Who do you blame then? Right? Like my thing about the vaccine is what I saw in the vaccine was people's ability to give away responsibility. This virus, and I don't even know if I'm gonna put this on YouTube, by the way, but this this virus was, it's not that deadly, first of all. So in reality, and not only that, the vaccine has side effects in general that could potentially put you at risk. So the way I look at the vaccine, I just think humans should have the ability to should have the ability to make the decision for what they think is the best thing to do for them as a human. And my whole thing was it seems like all the vaccine is doing is putting the people who took it up high on a moral pedestal. They think that they're better than everybody else because they took the vaccine. And so my question is to you, well, what would you do if you got sick and died? Or obviously you would be dead, but like, what would your family do? Would you expect them to sue the companies now and get money for it? It's like, is that really going to help you? Is that really going to solve anything? That's not going to bring you back. So my thing is like, why shouldn't you just have the choice to get the vaccine or not get the vaccine? I don't like seeing the vaccine as a way to shift blame. And the example I said to you, I know you don't watch the Marvel movies, but a lot of people may have. I love the Captain America movies. If anybody's going to watch Marvel, watch the Captain America, and I don't think you need to watch anything else. In Captain America, he said in a Captain America Civil War, he said when they were all signing the documents, I'm not going to get into it. So for people who haven't watched it, you know, watch it. But for the people who have watched it, you know the scene I'm talking about. They're signing what they're doing is signing off the rights to for them to decide where the Avengers go. So for the people who are actually a part of the Avengers to decide where the Avengers actually will fight. And they're signing it off to a UN, some board or some committee in the UN. And what he says to Stark's in favor of it and Captain America isn't. Iron Man, if anybody really hasn't watched it and don't know who Tony Stark is, what Iron Man says to Captain America, or what Captain America says to Iron Man, Iron Man's against it, Captain America's or Iron Man's for it, Captain America's against it. What Captain America says is all this document is doing is shifting the blame. So what if this what if they tell us we need to go or we have to go somewhere and we actually missed out on an opportunity we could have gone somewhere else and people die? What if they where we go, people there are still technically there are still casualties and people still die? Who takes the blame? And basically what he says is the point he gets to is our hands, meaning the people who are in the Avengers, our hands are still the most responsible. That's the bottom line. I still have the most faith in our hands, not a committee on the UN. People who are thousands of miles away and have no idea what we know, right? Who aren't on going to be on the streets figuring out the things we have to figure out and seeing the things we see. And that's my point. So to the guys out there, I believe in – imagine me turning to you and telling you this. Your hands are the most responsible for your life, for your happiness. Your hands are the most responsible. Never let anybody tell you otherwise. Never. And that's my point. That's the responsibility I'm talking about. Like, I'm not saying ignore doctors. I'm not saying ignore scientists. What I'm telling you is your – in terms of the vaccine, just because in this case the vaccine is not deadly – it's not a big deal. It's just, in my opinion, it's really just a heightened fever. I know there are some side effects. You lose your taste. You lose your smell. You lose your taste. Shit like that. I get it. You could harm elderly people. I get that. I understand it. But what the point I just want to get across is that I still believe your ideas, your gut feelings, like you are going to be the best for your happiness. You still should be able to take responsibility for your happiness. That's my only point about the vaccine. That was why in this case I was, I took the stance I did on the vaccine. But
I think the thing, what it really boils down to, man, is like blaming other people won't make you happy.
Right.
Like if you blame that's someone else, and it's never going to make you happy. And the thing is like, I think the irony is I think people think when they blame other people, it's somehow going to make them feel better, but it doesn't.
Right.
Like you never, no one ever blames someone and then feels better. Like maybe they feel relieved that they're not the reason things didn't work, but it won't make you happy.
It's not going to fix anything. And I think I mentioned this at one point. I said, all right, so what happens? You break up with the chicken and you blame her for the relationship. So now what? Like you're still sitting there crying,
and you're in the same position because you're not actually learning. It's like an excuse to not learn from it because you're just up. You're ignoring anything you possibly did.
Right. And just in case, I just want to add: everybody should go and watch a video of Thomas Sowell. It was from like 81, I think, or something like that. He argued this feminist. I'm sure a lot of you guys have probably seen it. He argued this feminist about a couple things, and she talked about one of the arguments was. Or one of the topics was having schooling be or having the government be in charge of schooling versus the parents. So she said, what should we, you know, these kids who were now giving were giving schooling to all these kids. I think it was along these lines. I forget how the actual topic came up, but it was like, who's the better judge? She thought the government was the better judge. And Thomas Sowell's idea was we should give some type of charter, some type of way for the parents to choose. And she goes, well, how do the parents, if the parents aren't educated, how do they know better? And he said, I'm telling you, the parents are basically what he said. The parents are still a better judge than they're better than some bureaucrat thousands of miles away in D.C. You know what I mean? Like they're still going to be a better judge. And the example he used was he equated slaves when they were freed, how quickly they were able to educate themselves without any help. So his point was. Like so basically his point was, you know, I still think the parents, even though they're not educated, they are certainly a better judge than bureaucrats. And that's my point. Like I see a lot of this vaccine, everybody's jumping on board with the vaccine. And my thing is I understand that doctors and all there are a lot of people who are in favor of it and whatnot. First of all, there are a lot of doctors who aren't in favor of it. There are a lot of people who have just said the vaccine is crazy. You know what I mean? Like there was that guy at Johns Hopkins who they deleted his article because he talked about how I forget who it was. So there might be people who are like, oh, can't quote your sources. You shouldn't even talk about it if you don't know your sources. I forget who it was, but there was that guy who talked about how these, the deaths from COVID are all of a sudden there were no more deaths from like heart disease or something. It was all COVID or something. Yeah, whatever it was, but they got rid of his article. But either way, my point is, I really see this as a government. This is a government push to get the vaccine. I don't see it as doctors pushing to get the vaccine. I see it as originating from the government. And because of that, I still believe we have a better option, or we know better than the government. That's all I'm saying. We know better than the bureaucrats. But either way, I don't want people to think that I'm crazy, or I don't want people to think they have to stop listening to this because I say that. Like, that's why I'm just a little bit iffy.
I want to say, my whole piece with COVID, man, is let me ask you this question. Do you know what percentage of the world died from COVID?
0.002% or something. I don't know. Something small.
Well, it's like 0.30 and a 5. It's 5/100,000.
Yeah, there
it's
you go.
It's not even a drop in the bucket. It's like 1/5 of a drop in a gallon tank.
Right.
And it's like, I think that instantly explains. I think what ends up happening is, to me, like, people focus too much on the minute details, and that's kind of where you get wrapped up in COVID. If you just look at the big picture and how much of an impact it's really had, it's like, why would you ever be worried about this? Why would you ever make a deal out of this?
And like I said, I don't want to get too much into it, but my whole point is, that's just another real world example of how people are giving away responsibility without even thinking about it. Like, and this is why I say, guys, we have the responsibility to determine what makes us happy. Should you get the vaccine? Should you not? I don't know. I don't care. But we have the responsibility. I was just using that as an example. But we have the responsibility to determine what makes you happy. So in terms of your life, you have the responsibility, or you have the ability to determine what makes you happy. And it's a lot of responsibility. It's hard work. Like, it's tough. You know what I mean? Like, it's not easy. Seriously. And that's something that, like I said, you realize. And this is why I say, if there are guys who are maybe a little bit younger listening to this, you know, just live your life, dude. I mean, you'll get there. Like, it's not – I'm not trying to act like I'm better than anybody else. It's just you fucking – shit happens, dude. Like you learn. And guys are looking at me – guys are 35 listening to this thinking, I'm way better than you, Rick, because I have so much more experience than you. So I get it. You know what I mean? Everybody. It is what it is. Everybody's human. I'm just saying, you know, keep that in mind. I don't want guys to be giving away this responsibility. That was the whole point of just shifting blame and shifting responsibility. That's why this is why one of the staples of this mentality is, you can't blame women. Like, you just, yeah. Like, seriously, like honestly, one of the biggest points about this lifestyle is you just can't get in the habit of blaming women. I got into this thing today. This is my last point, and then I think we should wrap it up. Yeah. I got into this point today where on Reddit, I said to, you know, there was this guy who was talking about how women don't care about men and blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, I was like, furthermore, I would add to this that you can't get upset at women for this. Like, don't blame women. You can't, like, this is why I say feminism, all that stuff, it's just downstream from the female mentality. Feminism is not real. Like, seriously, it's not real. It's just a dream that women thought up in their head. That's why now they're just going after everybody. Because there's nothing left for them to do. Because it's not a real thing. Like, there's no actual truth behind it. And that's why none of them are happy. They're all miserable. Like that's just – that's that's why I say, don't blame women for this stuff. It's who they are. We need to blame ourselves and focus on fixing ourselves and being happy. That truly will turn around society. I have no doubt in my mind. Like, I'm so sure of this shit that I would take it to the grave. Like honestly, and like I said, if this shit ever blew up and I got really crazy, like, I'm fucking prepared to die for it. Like, seriously, like, honestly, I'm just prepared. Like, I'm here fighting for you guys. Like, I saw a lot of fight in Patrice, and I think he got into it late, and he said in the, if you guys look up the best, I think it's like the best hour on radio, look up like Patrice O'Neal, the best hour on radio. He said at the end, he was like, dude, you get tired. Like, you get tired. He said, I maybe have a couple more years of fight, but you get tired. And I think it's because he started so late. I'm here to say, luckily, we can fucking start early. This is why I wanted to, like my main target, like, I hope everybody listens to this, even women. My main target, though, I want to talk to, like, young guy, like, yeah, guys who are even younger than me, because we got to start early. You got to fucking foster that fight and grow that fight and keep that fight and use that fight for your advantage. You know what I mean? And I think Patrice, it took so long for him because he didn't have podcasting. So he had to do it through comedy and through other outlets. But I honestly don't even consider Patrice a comedian. He was a fucking philosopher. You know what I mean? And he was an absolute genius. Like, I don't even look at Patrice as a comedian. And this is why I say, like, we are at an advantage where we can take over for the younger, for our generation and the younger generation and whatnot. Like, I think, like, I'm kind of late millennial. I guess, I don't know if you're early Gen Z or whatever it is.
I know.
But that's what I'm saying. We can do this for our generation. You know what I mean? Like, Tom Likas is, like, in his 60s. Patrice is obviously dead. You know what I mean? Like, these guys, we can do this stuff for – we have so many years of fighting. You know, and that's why I said, like, you know what I mean? That's why I said, if this shit ever got big and they tried to silence me, like, if I could get big and get support, I'm ready for the fight. You know what I mean? I can do it, but it's gonna take time.
Hold up, boys, strap up.
Strap up, dude. And that's the thing. Like, this is why I say, like, even after I fight a guy about something, I always ended on good terms with them because there's no need to fight. Like, there's no need to get into it with God. Like, Patrice was always super nice to his callers, even the ones who were trying to tell him he was wrong and stuff. He was always great with them because it's like, especially the guys, like the girls he would get rough with for good reason because you got to shut their stupidity up when it starts. But for the guys, you know, he was very chill with the guys. He was very honest with them. You know what I mean? And he would say if they tried to fight him, he'd be like, all right, well, what do you think the problem is? You know what I mean? And it's like, that's what you got to do. We got to be able to talk about this shit. We can't be fighting each other on these apps and stuff. It's ridiculous. Guys look like fools when they get into fights with each other. It's so dumb. We got to stick together. We got to be bros on this shit. We could talk about this forever. I there's even stuff I wish I could have gotten into that we didn't. And there's a lot of stuff. So honestly, that I wanted to say thank you, Ryan, so much for being the first one on this on the podcast. This is awesome.
Yeah, bro.
I hope 10 years from now you're like, dude, I was the first one. And I have all this support. I really like that you wanted to do this because I hope more people feel more comfortable hopping on and we can talk
dude,
about it.
Yeah, no, I was stoked, man. It's fun being on this podcast, talking about shit. Like, yeah. And I like the fact that this podcast is there's a general topic and idea, but you can
just
talk
all over the place.
But yeah, you can talk about whatever you want. It's not like so linear.
As long as we keep it talking, as long as we stay on, like, I like to think Patrice was like a fucking master at keeping a point.
Yeah, dude. And I think when you think about when you were like growing up, or like when you think about how you want to live your life and like what you want to do, did you always think about like having a show or like being an actor?
Not being an actor. I've thought for years now, I've thought about starting a podcast. I mean, I had buddies. I used to literally, we would just talk for hours. Like, we would literally just talk for hours.
I see what you're saying. So it's not like it's just you enjoy talking and you want like basically like a radio show.
Yeah, or something like that. Like, just something to discuss shit. But yeah, it's been something for a long time. Real quick, I just want to say thank you everybody for listening. I hope that you guys enjoyed everything. Ryan, thanks for coming on. Yep. And keep it up, Kings. Keep your heads up, all right?